This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Sunny Sunday morning in summer when I first chanced on the house, having yet again managed to evade going to Kirk. There was no mistaking it. Its name was in reed in the foliations of its wrought iron gates. It was a still and clear day, I remember, of a full but gentle sunshine. The house had a solitary and beautiful situation, hill and valley. At the back of it, and not a stone's throw away, cascaded a mountain stream, full and deep after rain, and at all times with a natural fall of water upon rocks 15 or 20 feet below. This fall made a low, continuous musical roar, like the jangling bells and voices. It reverberated the whole day long. The house belonged, as I knew, to a princess, an Oriental princess, and therefore, as I supposed, a dusky one, from India, perhaps, Ceylon, Siam, somewhere in the East. I hadn't realized that one might be just such a princess, and yet, well, as pale as the Narcissus Poeticus even. No board announced that the house was to be let. No temporary tenant, I understood, had ever rented it. Yet she herself, the princess, hadn't been near it for years. For how many years, I hadn't the faintest notion. Certainly it looked mute and vacant enough. A tragedy, a love tragedy, the story went, had exiled its owner. Faces had fallen glum, and tongues discreet, whenever I had heard it mentioned. But putting two and two together, and making 21 of them, as a child will, I had come to the conclusion, first, that my princess had been as lovely as the Queen of Sheba, and it was King Solomon who was wise. Next, that she was younger than his queen, Sheba. Next, that she had in her brief life always been forlorn and solitary, a Mariana in a moated grange. And last, that she was dead. I was reluctant to be certain of this, and yet she must be dead, I fancied, for so only could I keep my romantic notions of her safe. And yet, of course, in a foolish fashion, I hope not. On the other hand, was not the house said to be haunted? So couldn't I make the best of both worlds? You will guess what I mean. These ruminations at any rate had turned the princess into a sort of dream creature, all my own, something ineffably lovely that only the young are capable of creating, although it is the business of poets, I suppose, to attempt it. And romantic? Well, isn't that the only true meaning of the word? Indeed, absurd though it may sound, in those greenhorn days I too had fallen in love, a sucking calf love, and with a phantom. Meanwhile, there I stood, steadily surveying the house, fascinated but a little repelled. Was it occupied? Most of the windows were shuttered. A few of the upper ones were only curtained. Who and what, I wondered, might not have taken up a lodging here? There was a look of neglect, of the distraught. But it was not extreme. Moss, damp, discoloration, weather and season would account for much of that. And you could tell at a glance that the place had never been a happily peopled house. Not at any rate in recent years. In a word, it looked abandoned. And the very effect of the air surrounding it changes when a house has been abandoned. Humans are like that too. There in the shelter of a tree, I stood a while watching the house, drew nearer at length, paused under its porch, and listened. Not a whisper. Only the answer that silence gives. So I made my way to the back of the house, found a little unlatched green door, listened again, but could hear nothing except the noise of falling water and a faint, shrill, grasshopper-like trilling, like the twittering of birds in the reeds and bushes of a stream. Sunshine was pouring down, and as for solitude, I might have been in the middle of the desert of Gobi. I pushed the door gently inward and took a look at the beyond. A stone-flagged passage.
Calling forth the tablet of spirit in the system of Dr. D. and Miss Redwood Kelly. Sea Equinox, Volume 1, Number 7 and Number 8.
I've looked up, wondering who's listening.
Funny.
Lord Mansfield lived in this South End house at one time. He was a great judge. And I remember reading an account of a trial that he presided over in which a witch was charged with witchcraft. And they said that she'd come. She went from place to place on a broomstick, you know that old. And she was acquitted. And he said in his summing up, he said, "You have been acquitted of what of the charge against you, and you are now free as any of us, to depart from this court and go back to where you please. And you can go just how you please, any vehicle at all, from a broomstick to a coach. That's what the actress said. Lovely. I think she went on her feet, no broomstick. It's a funny old idea, that, about the broomstick, isn't it? I don't know what the origin of the broomstick is at all. They used to go on the broomstick, you see, to attend the witches' coven, as it was called, when the witches from miles around met in the small hours of the morning. And if they had any other kind of vehicle, they rode broomsticks. I've never done it myself. It might be even pleasanter than an aeroplane, mightn't it? Have you ever seen anyone you thought might be a witch?
I, O reign above me, saith the God of justice, in power exalted above the firmament of wrath, in whose hands the sun is as a sword and the moon as a true thrusting fire, who measures your garments in the midst of my vestures and thrusts you together in the palms of my hands, whose feet I garnished with the fire of gathering and beautified your garments with admiration, to whom I made a law to govern the Holy One and delivered ye a rod with the ark of knowledge. Moreover, you lifted up your voices and swear obedience and faith to him that liveth and triumpheth, whose beginning is not nor end cannot be, which shineth as a flame in the midst of your palaces and reigneth amongst you as the balance of righteousness and truth. Move therefore and show yourselves, open the mysteries of your creation, be friendly unto me, for I am the servant of the same your God, true worshipper of the highest.
By the names they imposed on the latest reefs of development in Ground Zero Haggerston, the tired public housing that had to be swept away to create post-architectural performances worthy of the orbital railway, sleep shelves sold on the promise of the time it takes to get to Liverpool Street Station, 18 minutes, a better class of station, those old brown blocks like a congress of mechanics in nicotine overalls were given mysteriously elegant calling cards derived from Samuel Richardson, father of the English novel. Clarissa Street, Pamela Street, Richardson Close, Samuel House, Harlow House and the rest. The first wave of regeneration between substantial Soviet-inspired blocks and the elevated railway featured modest units, bits of garden, an imported urban-suburban estate. When they looked for a suitably inspirational name for a canal site close, they picked Mary Seacole, of Scottish and Creole descent. Seacole provided for wounded soldiers from the battlefields of Crimea. She managed a recovery station behind the lines and achieved great popularity through her reputation for generosity and allowances of alcohol. She returned to England with funds exhausted. She had no connection with Hackney. She never lived in the borough. What struck me when I set out, the overground walk completed, to see what had happened while I'd been away, was how unreal everything was. A single day's tramp had smoothed my eyes to porcelain eggs, like those of the poet John Clare, in his distress, when he believed he had lost his pupils. Stones had been set into his head, rays of invading light brought no fresh intelligence. Identity dissolved. The long walk from High Beach in Epping Forest to rescue by farm cart in Werrington left Claire homeless at home. He had completed a futile circuit from village to London, obscurity to exposure, with a delusional trudge back to a memory place that was no longer there. The muse was already dead. Patty, his earthy wife, tried for a few moments and found him wanting. Never private, and when councils are appointing guardians, salaries reflecting the dignity of their status, to prosecute ill-judged language in public office, it was something of a surprise to find the gleaming avenue through the latest railway flats being named after a notorious rapist. Lovelace Street, Private Road. Richardson's Robert Lovelace keeps the virtuous Clarissa Harlowe for many months in a brothel. Assisted by the madam and other whores, Lovelace drugs and rapes Clarissa. The madam is called Mrs. Sinclair, but nobody has named a passageway, cul-de-sac, or excrescence of designer flats after her. Not yet. Railway satellites are going up so fast and selling off plan before completion, so there's still a chance. The potential for exposure in the Hackney Citizen is very much alive. It's like dedicating a creche to Jimmy Savile. How those names give themselves away. The Haggerston Swimming Pool, opened in 1903 and once a much-loved local resource, has been boarded up for years, blind-windowed, allowed to decay so that funds can be siphoned into more glamorous projects. Imagine the tightness of my smile when I discovered on this ramble of reorientation that the path alongside the pool has now been declared a protected right-of-way. Swimmer's Lane. Private Road, no apostrophe, no irony. The boast is not heritage, it's outrage. Private Road, the public footpath to a public facility, swimming pool, slipper bath, laundry is doubly stolen, along with all established rites of passage through the flats. Not for nothing is the glass block at the end of Lovelace Street, which is no street, called Spinner House.
She gives as guide my bark, but I am swallowed in the swell of her heart's ocean, sagely dark, that holds my heaven and holds my hell. In her I live, a mote minute, dancing a moment in the sun, In her I die, a sterile shoot of nightshade in oblivion. In her myself dissolve, a grain of salt tossed careless in the sea. My passion purifies my pain to peace past personality. Love of my life, God grant the years confirm the chrism, rose to rude, anointing love, aspurging tears in the sanctifying solitude. Man is so infinitely small in all these stars, determinate, maker and molder of them all. Man is so infinitely great. Thank you. fingernails grow on my fingers, and my fingers are fixed firmly to my hand. It is my hand that terminates my arm, and that sticks to my shoulder like a charm. My shoulder is a portion of my trunk. I hope no prostitute, however drunk, would end the shocking sequence. Yet we find, even in England, men of evil minds, pornographers who love obscene details, shameless enough to mention fingernails.
And then, out of nowhere, a mirage, a solar balance of fool's gold. Boris Johnson in the flesh at Old Street, barking like a seal, shaking the straw of his signature fringe from cold eyes. He's in full cry, stuttering with mangled emphasis, saluting the economic boosterism of Silicon Roundabout. London celebrity man lumbered and swayed, finding his land legs after leaping down from the bike. Shower their high intolerable storms.
But no god knoweth in what hour a new Prometheus may be born. Hurry! Land of his doom goes driving down. A crown of thorns is still a crown. No power of nature shall withstand at last the spirit of mankind. It is not built upon the sand. It is not wastrel to the wild. Courage! Disaster and destruction tend to taller triumphs in the end.
London is paranoid, a hapless void of polarized pretension, of anal retention, an invention of media, money, and power. London is sour, a dour metropolis, ruined as the Acropolis, hanging on a precipice of insufficient power. An imposing edifice, rocking, rotting, second by minute, minute by hour, into the murky waters of a disenfranchised river. I watch it shiver, I watch it quiver with fear. Limp, lame, sore, always looking over its own cold shoulder that it overlooked before. And that's not because it's caring, it just wants to check out what you're wearing. London is paranoid, a place enjoyed by the rancid cancer of celebrity. I say, let it be. It wants to be A-list, so happy to be B-list. If not, I'll see you on the C-list, but please God, never on the D. And these showbiz cadavers call this credibility. So magazine, so limousine, has been and Maybelline. If your skin's not tangerine, then you're yesterday's news. And I'm sorry, mate, you're second rate if you don't live in a muse. London is paranoid, far more destroyed by its attitude than it ever was in the Blitz. It's in bits. Bitchin' and snitchin', scritchin' and scratchin' each other's eyes out. And these personality clashes haven't ruined just eyelashes. They've left yawning, gaping gashes in its soul. So tawdry and cold, it's a catalyst, dreamt up by a capitalist, who claimed its streets were paved with gold. Fool's gold. So turn again, bid it hasta mañana, for London is the epicenter of cruel Britannia. London is paranoid, shop-soiled and unemployed, left to fester in its own celebration. Its head hung in a noose of facile elation. But give a city enough rope, and it will hang a nation. Starved of emotional nourishment. Ah, that's what I call capital punishment. London is creeping, dripping, seeping into the consciousness of us all. We can all fall under its spell. For London is hell, where the concepts of humanism are engulfed by the flames of consumerism. So watch out, everybody, or you might get caught. So please remember, oh, you must remember, that you, and me, and you, and you, and me, and you, we're far more important than the last thing we bought. London is paranoid. London is paranoid. London is paranoid. London is paranoid. It's paranoid. It's paranoid.
To him, our father's martyrdom. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let it be, in God we trust. They died. They died. And we are free. Take up their cross. Deserve their crown. Sustain this flag of liberty. My men shall not be trodden down. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. So let it be. In God we trust. In war and earthquake, wreck and wrong, still let the flag of freedom fly. In peace and safety, still be strong, for we will live as we would die. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let it be. In God we trust. Though ruin wash the world in blood, though death devour, though time decay, let but our hearts hold brotherhood, and this they shall not take away. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let it be. In God we trust. Stand and join hands and let us sing. Shrink out all glory to the skies. With heart and hand defiant fling our purpose against destiny. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let it be. In God we trust.
Thank you. Reingekohlte Badeschwamm. Gekrönte
London is paranoid, a hapless void of polarized pretension, of anal retention, an invention of media, money, and power. London is sour, a dour metropolis, ruined as the Acropolis, hanging on a precipice of insufficient power, an imposing
edifice. Thoughts of light, let thy perpetual radiance partner the continual labor and enjoyment. So that as we are constant partakers of thy bounty, we may in our particular orbit give out life and light, sustenance and joy to them that revolve about us, without diminution of substance or effulgence forever.
Like I'm
radial lights are turning ever about a stop, now visible and now visible and now invisible and now seen. Be thou favorable to hunter and lover, and to all men that toil upon the earth, and to all mariners upon the sea. Giver of seas of joy, gates of light, bosoms of, be thou ever ready thou in thine hands a maiden, in thine office of gladness. The barren stone, and the mightier are your voices and the manifold winds, for you are become a building such as is not, save in the mind of the all-powerful.
Your hell is full of roses from the deep fall as we dog. Sorcerers enchanting from the paladin entrance. In the starlight as we wove us in a web of silk and steel, immemorial as the marble in the halls of Boabdil. In the presence of the roses, the fountains, and the yews, where the snowy sierra soothed us with the breezes and the dew.
In the starlight as we trembled from a loss to a caress, and the gods came warm upon us from our pagan allegress. Was the valley now gonna shoot it at you? Did you feel through the silence and the softness all the tension of the steel? Your hair was full of roses, and to my flesh was full of thorns. From the midnight famous palace, were the million places born. All my sisters, my Gitana, my Selena, my face for the dance that turned to life. Oh, sunny land, baby. My Gitana, my Selena, more delicious to the dance. With your hair of flaming roses, and your lips of night. Can I see you? Can I kiss you once again? I wander far through the sunny land of summer, through the icy polar stars. I shall find you, I shall have you, I'll come back again from that circle of stars to meet you in the sunny land of summer. I shall find you, my Gitana, my Camellia, as always with your hair of flaming roses. And your body gay with gold. I shall find you, I shall stand you in the summer in the south, with our castle in your body and our valleys in your mouth. With our wonder and our worship be the world aflame of you. My Gitana, my Delia, I am coming back to you. The pentagram. Dedicated to Henry Farman. In the year of the primal course, in the dawn of terrestrial birth, man mastered the mammoth and horse. Man was the lord of the earth. He made him an hollow skin from the heart of an holy tree. He compassed the earth therein, and man was the lord of the sea. He controlled the vigorous steam. He harnessed the lightning for hire. He drove the celestial team, and man was the lord of the fire. Deep mouthed from their throne of deep seated, the choirs of the eons declare the last of the demons defeated. The man was the lord of the air. Arise, O man, in thy strength, the kingdom is thine to inherit, till the high gods witness at length that man is the lord of the spirit.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.